This time of year, most of us start to reflect back on the past year. And as we reflect backwards, we also look forward to the coming year. By the way, if you don't do that, I would recommend it as a practice. To look back on the past year, see where you did well, see where you fell short, and then make goals for the coming year. Because goals, we're going to find out this morning, are useful things to have. Did you know that Christ died to give you a goal in life? That goal was that you could come into a relationship with Him, and so that you could have life and have it abundantly. Now, our scripture reading this morning was out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and it dovetailed very well with the lesson this morning that Brother Autry taught. Let's go ahead and go through it again, because I think it's worth hearing again. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Most of us in this audience have already attained baptism. Do you know that that's something to live up to? That you now represent Christ? People look at you, oh, are you a Christian? Well, first of all, they shouldn't have to ask. And second, you shouldn't be embarrassed in the name of Christ. Now, Paul said he hadn't reached that goal yet. And it's tragic when we stop going after the goal of knowing Jesus better, because it's important for us to continue to set goals and go after them, including spiritual goals. Because you know we're going to go through life either by design or by default. We're either going to set goals and decide for ourselves what's important, or other people are going to decide them for us. Most of us went off to college and our goal was to graduate and get a job. Now, all of us who went to college remember those folks that didn't make it. And there were some of them. There were always somebody who didn't make it. I went to Florida State and we were in the dorm. And we had one young man who was a loner. And he spent a lot of his time partaking of things he should not have been. But long about halfway through his first semester, he took too much of the wrong thing. And they carried him away in a straitjacket and he never came back. We don't want other people to set goals for our lives. We want to do that for ourselves. We have already decided to let Christ rule our lives. We did that when we were baptized. If we don't know what's important, we're going to wind up letting other people decide that. And then, of course, they will conform us to their way of thinking. A believer needs to be able to ask the question, is this course of action going to point me toward the goal in life of getting to know God? One of the questions we ask on the youth nights is, what is the definition of success? And every single one of those children can answer. The definition of success is to live your life and go to heaven. That's it. If you made it to heaven, your life was worthwhile. Now, here is a goal-stretching verse. from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 30. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In the church and in our lives, sometimes we just don't set goals that are big enough. Now, why do you need to bother to set goals? Well, because goals help us to focus. One of the reasons that we need focus is because focus keeps us from wasting our time, from wasting our money, from wasting our energy. They keep us on track. The key to being effective in life as a woman of God or as a man of God is to do what matters most. Well, what matters most? Isn't that a decision you need to make? That needs to be at the forefront of your mind when you're making other decisions? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." He says, I'm not playing around. I'm not pretending. When I box, I'm going to box to win. I'm going to run to win. I want my life to bring glory to God. The goals will keep us going. They keep us moving. They give us hope to endure. They give us hope to persist. Do you know that psychologists, secular psychologists, mind you, have told us that the most important emotion we have is hope? Because when you lose hope, you're going to die. Because you will quit trying. Do you know God already knew that? They could have just read the Bible and saved themselves a lot of work. Now, God, our goals give us hope. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Do you know that Jesus didn't enjoy the cross? Go back and read about the Garden of Gethsemane. His request was, "Lord, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done." He went to the cross. But he was looking beyond the pain to the payoff. And sometimes we need to do that too. Job says in Job chapter 6, verse 11, "What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient?" Goals help us to keep going. When we have a long-term goal, it keeps us from being discouraged with short-term setbacks. And everybody is going to have a setback. Everybody blows it. Some of us have gotten to the point in our lives when we don't make resolutions anymore. Why? Because we've said enough of them and failed at them that we just quit. Now, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has failures. And in fact, failure is the way to succeed. Now, up here on the screen, I have the great philosopher Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Now, is he saying you don't need a plan? No, he's not. You're talking about a man who trains from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. The man had a plan. But he also understands failure. You got to get back up. Sometimes it doesn't work quite like you had planned. Did you learn something from it? Okay. Get up and make your life better because of the lesson you learned. We do not succeed in life without failing, because that is how we learn what works and what doesn't work. So we don't necessarily need to call it failure. We could call it an education. Those of you who are parents and had a child that you taught to walk, you know that the first 4 months that that child was trying to walk, what did it do? Fell down. But you kept picking it back up, saying, you can do this. You can do this. And you encourage that child to walk. Now, a goal doesn't have to be huge to motivate you. Sometimes small goals can be important goals, because to get from here to success isn't always done in a great big leap. Sometimes it's just little steps, measurable baby steps. Goals help us to build character. If we set a goal, then we have a vision of what could be. And do you know what happens without a vision? Well, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says that the people perish. If you get a vision, you can get a goal, and then God says, I will help you to make it happen. The greatest benefit to life over the goals is not going to be the accomplishments because of the goal. It's going to be what happens as you struggle toward that goal. God is more interested in our character than He is in our accomplishments. Do you know that you are not going to take your career to heaven with you? But we are going to take our character. God is more interested in who we are. He is interested in us as people. So here's the idea, that while I'm working on the goal, God is working on me. And that seems to make sense, that God wants to do stuff with us in our lives, and goals help us to build character, and that is going to last for eternity. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, I keep striving toward the goal. Striving. That takes energy. It takes effort. It takes intention. It takes purpose in order to reach the goal. God says, while you're doing that, while you're working on the goal, God's building character. You will never become the man God intends you to be unless you intend to become that man. You will never be the woman that God intends for you to be unless you intend to become that woman. You'll never become what God intends without being intentional. Do you know that good goals will be rewarded? Sometimes our goals are rewarded here on earth by other people, and sometimes our goals are rewarded by God who's in heaven. In Proverbs 11, verse 27, we read, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. So the question is, what are you looking for? It is a fascinating thing how many times we find what we're looking for, and how many times what we're looking for is not necessarily a good thing. Most of us in this audience are old enough to have met folks who were just looking for trouble. And do you know that people who are looking for trouble can usually find it? But do you know that the same is also true in reverse? People who are looking for good can also find good. If you want to be good, you want to find good, then we need to set goals that are looking for the good. The real reward in setting good goals is going to come to us in eternity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, we read, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. That means they eat right, they sleep right, they exercise. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Now, some of y'all remember the games that got played yesterday. Are you going to remember them in 2 years? Okay, some of you will. I will not. Sports are not my thing. They're fun to watch and then they go away. But we're competing for a crown that will last forever. And so I run, Paul says, straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Now, Paul was a goal setter, and we need to do that too. And so you ask yourself, well, what kind of a goal is God going to bless? Because you know that you can set goals that aren't good, right? I'm going to earn the most money of anybody in here. Now, believe it or not, you can set that goal and look for good, or you can set that goal and look for bad. Mostly depends on your attitude. How do we know what kind of goals God is going to bless? When you get ready to set a goal, there are some questions that you might want to ask. And the first one is, will it honor God? Will the goal honor God? What kind of goal does God honor? What kind of goal brings glory to God? Any goal causes you to trust Him more, that's a good one. Any goal that causes you to depend on Him more, to love Him more, to love other people more, to serve God, to serve others, to be more unselfish, those are good goals. Are you going to use your body to honor God? Go ahead, do that. The figures that you see on that slide are sports figures. Man over here on the left is a soccer player. I just thought I'd tell you because most of y'all don't know him. The guy over on the right, most of you people know, that would be Mr. Tebow. Both of them are honoring God for the abilities that they have because of their bodies. Now, for those of you who may not know, Mr. Tebow did not wind up with a professional career. He made other choices. Do you know that he's got a multi-million dollar foundation that does nothing but help children in need? The man could have spent that money on himself. He didn't have to do that. There are already hospitals out there. But if you're curious, go look up the Tim Tebow Foundation and see what he's done with his money, with his life, with his skills so that he could glorify God. And he will tell you that's exactly why he did it. He's not a doctor. But he can pay for the doctors who can help the children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, we read, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, because almost everything can be done to honor God." You can take out the garbage to honor God. Did your mom and daddy ask you to take the trash out? Did you do it with a good attitude? Because you wanted to honor your father and mother, then you've honored God by doing that. You can wash dishes to honor God. You can clean out your car to honor God. You can study for a test to honor God, but you have to do it with the right motives. You have to do it out of gratitude and for the right motivation. You say, "I want my life to bring honor to God, so I'm going to be the best I can be for God's sake." We ask ourselves, will this goal honor God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it." The first question. The second question is, what I'm doing motivated by love? The second question you can ask, whether you're setting goals for finances or health or relationships, is it motivated by love? I'll tell you, one of the saddest stories that I heard in the business world has to do with Ron Johns and the Cocoa Beach Surf Shop. Ron Johns was a surf shop that was opened by two local boys, Ron and John. And for decades, they worked side by side as best friends who happened to own a surf shop that would allow them to go surfing. But they reached a point in their business lives where their philosophies changed. The business split. They sued each other. It was a nasty, nasty lawsuit. Ron, by the way, is the one who got to keep Ron Johns. John is the one who owns the Cocoa Beach Surf Shop. And do you know what his vision is for the Cocoa Beach Surf Shop? It's to put Ron Johns out of business. Tell me, brothers and sisters, is that love? I would argue to you that it's not. It's not a worthy goal. You went through life with your best friend. You had a falling out, and now you're going to set the rest of your life to be hateful? Brothers and sisters, we can do better than that. When we set a goal out of love, and we say, God, I want to do this because I love you, and I want to love other people, God will honor that goal because it's about love. And life is about learning how to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, it says, everything you do must be done with love. Everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, love must be your highest goal. That should be the number one goal in your life. I want to learn how to love, Father. I want to learn how to love unlovely people. I want to learn to love the unloved. I want to learn to love people who are hard to love. Now go ahead. Tell me you've never met somebody who was hard to love. Do you know that Jesus died for that person too? And sometimes that's harder to swallow than others. But Jesus died for that person too. Question number three. Is it going to strengthen our faith in God? Will this goal require us to depend on God? Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, we read, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You get to plan the way you want to live. But Jesus died to give us a goal in life. And that goal was to come into a relationship with Him that we could have life. God provides the things we need in order to reach our goal. And the things we must have to reach our goals are the things you must have to change our lives. Well, what are those things? One of them is we need God's Spirit to empower us. Now, goals aren't necessarily based on willpower, it's based on God's power. It's not based on trying, it's based on trusting. I need God's Spirit to empower me. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, you will not succeed by your own strength or your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need God's Spirit to empower us to make changes we can't make on our own. You ever failed at a goal? Okay, learn something from it, get back up, and if it's a worthy goal, try it again. You didn't learn to walk the first day. You're not going to learn new skills the first day. What else do you need? We need God's Word to guide us. We need God's Spirit to empower us. The Bible is our owner's manual for our lives. The more we get into our Bibles, we get it into our minds, our hearts, and our lives, the more successful, the more fulfilled we're going to be in life. You realize that some goals are long-term goals and some goals are short-term goals. When we look at Joshua, he was given the dream of taking over the promised land, and it was a goal that was going to take him the rest of his life. And God said this to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Keep this book, the Bible that they had at the time, on your lips. In other words, feel free to talk about it anytime you want. Recite it by day and by night. Now, if you're going to recite something, what does that mean? Oh, that means you've memorized at least parts of it, yes? Then you may carefully follow, or that you may carefully follow all that is written in it. Now, all of that is the premise, and the promise follows. Then you will successfully attain your goal. So go ahead, read your Bible. Talk about what you read. Memorize some of that Bible so that you can have it in your mind when you need it. And then you will attain your goal. The last thing that we need is we need God's people to support us. We'll not be able to reach all of our goals on our own. Sometimes it takes a team. We need other people in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12 says, by yourself you are unprotected, but with a friend you can face the worst. And a group of three is even better, because a rope braided with three strands is not easily snapped. I'm hopeful that at this point in your lives, as Christians, you... Yes, brother, it was for you. Do you know that Christianity is about relationships? It is. You need to have a relationship with God. But you also need to have a relationship with your brothers and sisters. Because do you know what their job is? Their job is to encourage you. You know what your job is? Your job is to encourage them. And if you're doing your job and they're doing their job, your job gets a little bit easier, doesn't it? Do you know what you call three people meeting together? It's a group. And that's what Jesus said it was. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. By coming together with others, we can be transformed. And it will change our lives. If we will do it, if we will hear and read and watch and talk and do, we can grow. If all we do is come to church and hear, we're not going to be transformed. We'll receive from God things that we have not thought possible only if we are also willing to take action on the things that we hear. Do you know that Jesus died to give us a goal in life? And that goal was to come into a relationship with Him so that we could have life and have it abundantly. This year, as you're setting goals, remember God and His plans for your life. Make it a goal to develop a deeper relationship with God. If you aren't a baptized believer and you want to know more about that process, come let me know, because I'll be happy to study with you. If you have a friend who wants to know Jesus and you aren't sure how to go about teaching them, come let me know. I'll be happy to study with both of you. Please give those things some thoughts as you set goals over the coming week, as you think about the coming year. Please give this lesson some thought as together we stand and as we sing. Thank you.